Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you've got them, and we are going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and we are going to begin with verse 15. Last week, Paul was talking about us being the children of light, that we were once darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. And so he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And he starts verse 15 by saying, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So because we are children of light, we need to see that, we need to understand that, and because of that, we need then to see in the sense of paying attention to, see then that you walk circumspectly. Now that's a really big word that, I'd be honest, I had no idea what it meant. All right, so I had to go look it up. And it's really two words in Greek. And the kind of the literal idea means how exactly you do something. And the words are kind of in a little bit different order in Greek than they are in English. It would read kind of like this: see then how exactly you walk. Take heed, pay attention to how exactly you walk, how we walk in this world, not as fools, but as wise. So he starts by talking about walking again. Sit, walk, stand, and we're solidly in the walking section of Ephesians. Same word, active, an active verb that we are the ones walking about on this earth now. So we need to pay attention to how exactly we walk because we're children of light. Not as fools, but as wise. And we talked about wisdom a long time ago, back in Ephesians chapter 1. We talked about knowledge, wisdom, and prudence. Knowledge is just that. It's knowledge. It's the stuff that we know. Wisdom is not just knowing stuff, but being able to take that knowledge and apply it and use it in life. And prudence is knowing when not to do something or when not to say something. You've got knowledge, you've got wisdom, you've got prudence, and Paul says that we should look to how exactly we walk, that we should not walk as fools, which is the opposite of being wise. We should not be unwise. We should be wise. We should walk in a wise manner. Because the world does not. Scripture says, professing to be wise, they became fools. Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. It can sound so smart when somebody spouts off something and they've got a string of degrees after their name half a mile long. And it stands in stark contrast to the Word of God, and they are a fool. Flies in the face of everything the world says about what it means to be smart. I saw not too long ago, Stephen Hawking passed away not too awful long ago, I recall. Brilliant mind, but without God. From anything I ever heard about. And it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much knowledge we have. If the Holy Spirit is not flowing through us and turning it into godly wisdom, it makes no difference. So we need to walk not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So one of the ways that we walk wisely is to redeem the time because the days are evil. And redeem is the idea of buying up, buying something up. You know, it's like, John's told me this story a couple of times. It's a really sad story for John, but I think it'll make a really good illustration. John had a lot of the original G.I. Joes. We're talking about the 12-inch figurines, you know, with the guns that are about this long, and the Jeeps that, you know, they're as big as this pulpit is wide. The original G.I. Joes, not the little plastic guys you get at Walmart now, you know, but the real stuff. Had a bunch of those. And was moving and was cleaning out the attic and decided, I need to get rid of those. Had a yard sale. And then a few weeks later, found out that some of those items were going for like $400 a piece. Because they weren't being produced anymore. And so they had become collectible. And people were buying them up. And somebody cleaned John out. For, you know, 25, 50 bucks, I don't know. But anyway, they really cleaned John out. But somebody redeemed the time there. They took advantage of an opportunity. And that is the idea of redeeming. It is buying something up because it is precious. And because it is something that is worth a lot. And so redeeming is buying up, ransoming, keeping from loss something. So he says to redeem the time because the days are evil. Time and days are two different things. The word time is the Greek word kairos. Important word. Because it means an occasion, a set time, a proper time. It doesn't mean time as in 24-hour, day and night, day, time. It means a set time. In other words, at 6 o'clock tonight, we are going to eat. Amen. That's a set time. That's a kairos time. That is a set occasion. It's upcoming. It's a special thing that's about to take place. That's a kairos time. Days, the word for days, because the days are evil. Days is a more general thing. Days is references a period of time. So Paul says, redeem, buy up the kairos, the occasion, the set time, because the days, the era in which we live, are evil. There's a lot in that. The days that we are in are evil. Why? Because there is rebellion against God and His Christ. It will not always be that way. He will return. His kingdom will be manifest, and the rebellion will cease, and the days will cease to be evil. But until then, the days are evil because there is an enemy who has built a world system that pulls at our flesh, and all of these things are evil. But in the midst of the evil days, God has for His people set times, occasions, special things. In other words, in the midst of the evil days, God is on His throne and He is in control. And as we go throughout our lives, every day, The lives of his people are full of kairos moments, of set times. Might call them divine appointments. But it is things that God has planned for us, and we run up on them every single day as his people. And Paul says, redeem those opportunities. Buy up those set times. Because in the midst of the evil days, God is working. And his gospel is going to the ends of the earth, to every nation, tribe, and tongue. His kingdom is being built. Satan cannot stop it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so, it must be incredibly frustrating to be the devil, because no matter what you do, God already had it planned to work it for the good of his people and the glory of his name. Amen. Talk about a miserable existence. I can't win. Well, no, you can't. Because Jesus already did. So the days are evil, yes, but the kairos times are many for the people of God, and we need to redeem them. Because as we are faithful to buy up those times, that's when we see God move. In our own lives, in the lives of others that he sets in our path, in the life of this church, this town, and on out to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. So redeem the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, because we need to redeem the time, because the days are evil, do not be unwise, but understand, literally, put together what the will of the Lord is. So as we are going through our days, keeping our eyes open for kairos, we need to be able to put together, to understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, how do we do that? I think it's twofold. One is, we find out what his revealed will is in his word. We talked about that last week. Be in the word every day. 2-3 times a day, as much as we can, be in the Word, so that we get the mind of God and we understand what his will is. Because there's a lot of his will that is revealed right here. But then there's also his specific will as we go throughout a day. And that is where the Holy Spirit comes in and applies the word that we have in our hearts to the situation that we are in. And the gift of discernment kicks in, the gift of the Spirit of discernment, so that when we come up on a given situation with other people, with our own lives, we are able to say, okay, what's God's word say about this? If it says something specific, then I don't need to try and figure anything else out, because it's right there in black and white. But if it's not specific, you know, if it doesn't say, hey, Scotty, go here at 3 o'clock and talk to this guy, then we say, Spirit, give me discernment and direct me into the kairos moments you've got for me. And that is how, putting together the Word and letting the Spirit do the work, that is how we are able to understand, put together what the will of the Lord is as we go about our business from day to day. Well, one of the revealed things in the Word of God that we know is the will of God is verse 18. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Dissipation is the idea of being completely shameless with wickedness. And anybody who has ever been drunk or been around somebody who is drunk, you know that you lose control of your faculties. And you can pretty much be talked into doing anything. Or talk somebody else into doing anything. And when we do not have control of our minds, I will say this. If we do not have control of our minds, some spirit will. So if it's not the Holy Spirit, it'll be a demonic spirit. So being drunk with wine and losing control of our faculties opens the door wide open for Satan and his imps to come in and basically do whatever they want to in and through us. And wreck our lives and wreck the lives of those around us. And so he says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. The interesting thing about do not be drunk and be filled, they are both commands. Do not be drunk, be filled. But they are also both passive verbs. In other words, you are not doing the filling, you are not doing the being drunk part, you are being acted upon. If you're drunk with wine, the alcohol is acting upon your body and affecting your mind. And you really can't do anything about it. If you consume enough alcohol to be drunk, you can't do anything about the fact that you are inebriated until somebody or something uninebriates you. Or you sleep it off. The interesting part is it's the same way with being filled with the Spirit. It is passive. We cannot fill ourselves with the Spirit of God. Yet we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. Well, that puts us in an impossible situation on our own. But it puts us in a perfect spot to cry out to the Father and say, fill me. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. Guess what? At that point, when we pray that prayer and he answers us and we are filled with the Spirit, we're not in control then either. Remember the book of Acts? Remember Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost? Spirit comes on 120. They go out in the street. They're speaking in all these new tongues. And what's the immediate reaction? They must be drunk. Huh. So the Spirit seems to have a similar effect as being drunk with wine. There's one major difference. Being drunk with wine, all of our faculties and all of our strength just... It's like if you, it's like a balloon filled with water, and when you pop it, the water just goes. No direction to it, no power behind it. It just goes in all directions and really doesn't do any good to anybody. When we are filled with the Spirit, We are hooked up to a greater source. And what it is like we are a water hose. Instead of our faculties and our gifts and our strength being just scattered to the four winds, the Spirit directs them and points them at what needs to be soaked and saturated with Himself. And at that point, we are a channel that the Spirit can flow through like a mighty river. And that is the difference in being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. One produces confusion, destruction, and dissipation. The other is direction, strength, power, purpose, yes, that we cannot on our own work up, but that we will be granted if we ask the Father for it. And I wonder this morning as we sit here, I don't know where everybody's at this morning. If you have come to the place of being in the family of God, you realize that you were a sinner, you realize that Jesus finished work on the cross, paid for your sins, that He is Lord, and you surrendered to Him, and His Spirit came to live in you, and you're baptized to represent that, and you're in the family. There is more. There is more. If when you came to know Him, you did not in that moment ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, you need to start asking. Yes, He's in you. Yes, you're sealed by Him till the day of redemption. But brothers and sisters, there is more. There is more. And so many people never experience the more because they don't know to ask for it. They've even maybe been taught that you shouldn't ask for more because it all took place right there in that moment. Well, if in that moment you asked Him to fill you, then yeah, probably did. But if you didn't, He's waiting. He is waiting like a horse at the starting gate. Ding! Ask Him to fill you. I dare you. I dare you. And keep on asking. It's like, how will I know? You'll know. You'll know. Well, what will happen? I don't know. Different things happen to different people. Different things happen to different people when they are filled with the Spirit. Tongues happen sometimes. Sometimes it's other things. Right? I'm not in the mindset that it has to be speaking in tongues for an initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit. I've got a lot of friends that are there, okay? And I'd rather have that than have nothing, okay? I would rather have people think that that has to be the way it happens than think it never happens, all right? But I'm not of that opinion. There are lots of gifts of the Spirit. Tongues is one of them. Discernment is one of them. There are lots of gifts of the Spirit. And when you ask Him to fill you, any one of them might take place or any multiple ones of them. In whatever measure he gives in that moment. But none of it will take place if we do not ask. When the disciples were filled with the Spirit, the day of Pentecost, baptized in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, that's holding the conversation. But they had been in that upper room for days together asking Him. You have never experienced the deeper work of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, and if you don't know what that is, then you have not. Okay. It's one of those, I can't explain it, but when it happens, you will know. But if that's not taking place, then the Lord has more for you than you have currently been walking in. So ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to fill you. Today would be a good day to ask. Be filled with the Spirit. And then as we are filled with the Spirit, one of the things that's going to happen is verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another. By the way, every time that he references somebody in this passage, you or the commands, the be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, all of it is plural. He is not talking to just individuals. He is talking to the body of Christ. He is talking to the church as a body. This whole thing is a body passage. So you walk, that means all of us together walk, which means we help each other walk. All right? We help each other walk wisely, redeeming the time. All right. We help each other understand what the will of the Lord is. We help each other in asking the Spirit to fill us. And then it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we should be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, somebody might look at that and say, boy, he just went through a whole lot to say we ought to sing. No, there's a lot more to it than that. Because psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are distinct things. We need to be speaking to one another. I find that interesting. We need to be speaking to one another in this manner. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, all of those things are going to be things that direct our thoughts and our hearts towards God. As we interact with one another, what comes out of our mouths needs to be God-centered, God-focused, so that we encourage each other along the way. There's plenty enough of the evil days out there amongst everything we do on a daily basis with work, school, family, whatever else goes on. When we are in contact with one another, we need to be, hey, bro, how you doing? What's going on, sis? I love the way James comes and tells everybody sis. All sisters in Christ says sis. It's good, James. We need to be checking on each other. How you doing? Hey, let me encourage you. Listen, remember this song? Remember this word? Okay? Because if we're speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, what are we doing? Well, let's look at it. Psalms. Speaking to one another in psalms. Well, I wonder what that means. Well, let's not complicate it too much. It means these. The book of Psalms. There's 150 of them. That's a bunch. Some of them short, some of them long. Some of them full of joy, some of them desperate cries, some of them curses on the enemy. All of them good for us. And we need to be speaking to one another in those. If you've never read all the way through the book of Psalms, just do it. Just do it. Start today. January 1st of every year, unless I'm backsliding and forget. January 1st of every year, I start New Year's Day with Psalm 1. And the next day, Psalm 2. And the next day, Psalm 3. And the further on you get, some of them get a little long, and maybe you have to break them up into a couple of days. Or Psalm 119, maybe break it up into a few weeks. But go read that book. I've heard, you know, I've run into people through the years that say, I know it's wrong to question God. They never read Psalms. They heard somebody say that, some off-base preacher say that. If you read the book of Psalms, oftentimes you will see the psalmist say, "Oh God, why? Why is this going on? What is happening? I don't understand. But I trust you." It's okay to ask God why. He can take it. He is not afraid of your questions. He is not afraid of our questions. He can take it. Where it becomes wrong is when we start questioning Him with arrogance. "I don't trust you. Why are you doing this? You better prove to me that I can trust you." He proved we can trust Him at Calvary. His own innocent Son murdered for us. So whatever is going on in your life, we can't trust Him. Whatever is going on in our lives, we can trust Him. So as long as we come with our questions and say, "Why, Lord, is this happening? I know You're good. I trust You, but I don't get this. This hurts." He can take that. Sometimes He may answer you so quick that it shocks you. Maybe sometimes the answer is, "Kid, you can't handle that answer right now." But you'll find out later. And that's okay too. But we need to be speaking to each other with the Psalms. And we need to be singing the Psalms. They were songs. That's what psalm means. It means song. And so we need to be singing the Psalms as songs. They make great prayers too, by the way, because most of them, that's what they are. And the neat part is, a lot of the songs that we sing are the Psalms set to our music, not whatever David put it to, because we don't know what that is, but set to our music, our tune. So you have the Psalms. Then he says, "Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Well, what are hymns? Okay, well, we could think of hymns as a particular type of song. One of them we sang this morning. "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the faults of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I loved Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Somebody, I don't know who on that, wrote that a long time ago because it bubbled out of their heart. And the Spirit gave it to them, and they wrote it down, and they put music to it, and now here we are, 100 or 200 years later, don't know how long. I know it's in public domain, so it's been a while. Singing it still. So we could think of hymns as that, a particular type of song, and maybe you could make a legitimate case for that. I think really the idea of a hymn with the Greek word, it is a religious song. In other words, it is something that's not necessarily Scripture, but it is God-centered. It's based in Scripture. It's saturated in Scripture, and it is a song that we sing that was written in the past at some time. All right. By that definition, "How Great Is Our God" could also be a hymn. All right. It was written almost 15 years ago at this point. And we are still singing it. And so you've got songs, Scripture. You've got hymns, songs that at some point in the past, near or distant, somebody wrote that are centered on God. And then you've got spiritual songs. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs, praise team, you ready for this? The Greek word behind it is ethereal. Go ahead and laugh, Jerry. That's an inside joke, sorry. Anyway, but spiritual songs are ethereal. In other words, they are not from around here. They are not of this realm. They are, in fact, from a different realm. They are from the spiritual realm. How do you think we get new songs? If somebody just sits down with a piece of paper and a guitar and starts figuring something out and the Spirit's not flowing through them, then they get done writing a song and guess what? That is not a spiritual song. But when we are in the presence of God, when we are in the Word of God, when we are praying to God, and lyrics and music start coming into the minds and the hearts of the people of God, and then you grab a pen and paper and you start writing, well, guess what? You've got a spiritual song. Now, 50 years from now, it might be a hymn. But in that moment, it is a spiritual song because it is that the Spirit's working in you in that moment to get those lyrics out into this realm. You ever, I know we have all done this, all right? Have you ever heard a song on the radio, in a meeting, at a conference somewhere, and you never heard it before, and it's new, somebody just wrote it, it's like a, you know, brand new, and the first line, you just know, that is a right now song. This is a song for such a time as this. I think we have all experienced that. Spiritual songs. Some of them happen right on the spot. You might be praying and you just start singing. Maybe you're singing a scripture. Maybe you're just singing a prayer out to God. Maybe you're singing in tongues. That happens too. And it's a spiritual song. And maybe it's just for that moment. Maybe you don't write it down. Maybe nobody ever hears it except the Lord. It doesn't matter to accomplish its purpose. That's a spiritual song. Or maybe you grab it and you do write it down. And maybe it gets introduced to a congregation. Or maybe the whole church around the world starts singing. Oh, that's a spiritual song too. The point is, we need all three. As the church, and this is where some churches go nuts in either direction. We need psalms, we need hymns, we need spiritual songs. They all have a purpose. You cannot beat singing scripture, the psalms themselves. You cannot beat singing out the word of God. It's never going to get any better than that. But we need hymns too. We need those songs that have been around, that everybody knows, that are rocks, that anchor people's hearts and souls. You know what I'm talking about. You start singing Amazing Grace, and you will get some weird characters that will stop what they are doing and probably start singing with you. God's just set it up. That's how some songs end up. And we need spiritual songs. We need the new stuff. Now, some churches will say, oh, we don't do that old stuff. We don't do that old boring stuff. Let me tell you something. That old boring stuff is so full of truth that if we will start listening to it again, it'll blow your mind and change your life. Then there's some churches like, oh, that new stuff, that stuff's weird. We don't understand how that goes. We're not even sure that's of God. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's way past time that the church of God got past, oh, we like the old stuff, we like the new stuff. Just stop. We need it all. If you don't like it, get to liking it. Ask God to change your heart if you don't like it. You know, if you're a teenager and the hymns just bore you, ask the Holy Spirit to start helping you hear the words of those hymns. Because if you start hearing the words of those hymns and singing them from your heart, which we're going to get to in a second, there will be as much impact in your soul as with the new stuff. And maybe you've gotten a little crusted over the years, and you're tired of trying to learn that new song every week. Guess what? The Spirit gave it to somebody, and we probably need it. So let's not get in one ditch or the other. Let's realize we need it all. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, there are those people that will stand or sit during a church meeting and never open their mouth, and when you ask them what they are doing, they will say, "Oh, I am making melody in my heart to the Lord." Isn't that special? Problem is, the Bible won't let you off that easy. Because when it talks about singing, the word for singing means singing. And when it says making melody, it means plucking on something. It means making a noise with instruments. Okay? So, when it says singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, it is not talking about not singing with your mouth or not having... Some churches don't even do the instruments. That's not of God either. It says making melody. Okay? What it's talking about is in your heart. It means it needs to be coming from the heart. You need to be singing and making melody in your heart so that when the music begins and the words start coming, as it comes out of your mouth or off of your fingers, what's coming out is coming from your heart. People can sit through a church meeting and say, "The music bores me." Well, guess what? Your heart's wrong. There's something wrong with your heart. We should be able, as the people of God, to be in any kind of church environment and our hearts be bubbling over with praise to our God. Whether we're looking at a screen or we're holding a hymnal, it shouldn't make one iota of difference. Because the words that we're singing are truth, either about God to encourage each other, or to rebuke the enemy, or to God, thanking Him for who He is and for what He has done and giving Him praise. In your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When people come into a meeting and the music starts, and boy, I'm just too depressed to sing this morning. Well, don't be. Don't be. So, well, you don't know what's going on. I know what Scripture says. Scripture says, giving thanks for all things, always. Giving thanks always for all things. There's a branch of teaching in the church that says we don't thank God for trouble. We don't thank God for seemingly hard things, because God doesn't bring those things on us, that's always the enemy. That's not what the book says. The book says God is on His throne and He's sovereign and He's in control, and that the enemy doesn't do anything without getting God's permission, and that God works all things for the good of His people and the glory of His name. Therefore, when something comes along, even if in the moment It looks bad. It looks hard. We're able to look at the Father and say, Father, I thank you for what you are doing with this. I thank you for what you're doing, even when I don't get it, even when I don't understand what's going on. Now, there is an element of discernment here, because there are things that happen to and come on the people of God that is from the enemy. And God wants us to stand and resist it. Okay. So, say, how do you know which is which? Discernment. Say, that's not enough of a cut and dry answer. I'm sorry. That's the best I can do according to Scripture. I can't give you in every scenario, this is God, this is Satan. We've got to discern. I say, well, that keeps me on my knees. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the idea. But it says, even if it's from the enemy, we should be able to thank God for it because he has defeated the enemy and move on into warfare. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. I love that. He reminds us that God is the Father. He is our Father. He loves us. He loves us. That's why we can give thanks always for all things. Because he loves us. And again, I go back to the cross. Whatever bad thing may be going on right now in your life, it's not as bad as that. And God had that planned out and orchestrated to save us all. But it looked like the worst thing that ever happened. And it was. But it was the best thing that ever happened. So God is our Father. He loves us. He's got this. So because of that, we can thank him always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Because as we get closer to him, as we go deeper and deeper into him, the more we realize he is in everybody who is our brother and sister in Christ. And so we don't want to seek our good first. We want to be sure that brother and sister is taken care of. And so we submit to one another, putting each other ahead of ourselves in the fear of God, because we realize that we're all part of the body of Christ and that God is working something that's more glorious than we can imagine. So trust him. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We need them all. And sometimes we need more of them. And sometimes I think we forget what they're about. Well, it's what we do every week. No, it's power. It's power. There's power in praise. There's power in worship. There's power to encourage each other. There is power in thanking God for who he is. There is power in rebuking the enemy by singing the truth loud and clearing out the atmosphere. We need it. So this morning, as we draw to a close, in a minute, I'm going to invite Jeremy up to pray for us. And you know, if you just haven't been doing this music thing right, for whatever reason, maybe I like the old stuff, I like the new stuff, I don't sing. because I can't carry a tune in a semi-truck. That's a good attitude, Richard. The point is, there's power in opening our mouths and singing forth the praises of our God. And God loves to hear His children. It all harmonizes perfectly with Him. So it doesn't matter what you think you sound like, because He hears something beautiful. So if for whatever reason you've been holding back or sitting out or not participating in worship, praise and worship, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, I want to give us an opportunity just to repent of that this morning as the church. Now, we invited folks who are lost to come and surrender to Jesus a few minutes ago. As we come to this time of prayer, I want to invite the church to say, God, my heart's not been right towards You. And that's why I've not been singing. That's why I've not been making melody. That's why I've been kind of holding back. And I see that now. Because if we're not singing, if we're not making melody in our hearts, there's something wrong with our hearts. So I just encourage you to admit that to the Lord and ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. And it'll change how you view worshiping Him, both privately and corporately as a body. So with that said, Jeremy, come on up, brother. Pray for us this morning.
Let's all stand. Father, we just usher Your presence in, God. Father, if You don't show up, we don't want to be here, God. We don't want to do church without You, Father. We're here to lift up Your name, Father. Father, we sing to You with all of our hearts, God. We just lift up Your name, Father. We pray that You be exalted, God. God, as we sing, Father, we just open up our hearts to receive from You, Holy Spirit, and be filled with You as we worship You, not as an act, but just out of pure just love for You, God, and out of awe of what You've done for us, Father. So, Father, as we begin to worship, God, we just lift up Your name, Father, and we set our heart's affection on You, God, and we want to be touched by You, God. We want to encounter the living God right now, Father. We want to encounter You, Father. So, Father, as we lift up praise, God, we just thank You, Father. We just ask that You move and touch each and every one of us, Father, and we sing with all of our hearts praises to You, King Jesus. Father, we thank You. We bless Your name, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.